Ever since I was very young, I've always had places in my life that I considered sacred spaces. I may not necessarily have always called them that. When I was growing up, I lived on the steep bank of a lake, and I would often sit among the exposed roots of this big old tree and watch the water for hours. My family had a beach house on the Jersey Shore, so I spent enormous amounts of time on the beach and in the ocean, and I have had these experiences. Most profoundly late at night, on warm nights, I've gone swimming when the temperature of the air was the same as the temperature of the water. And as soon as I got acclimated to the water, I ceased to be able to feel when I was touching air and when I was touching water. And it would feel like I was melting into water and air at the same time, that I was becoming them. My current sacred space is on the land where I live. There is a little hut that serves as a sauna, and it has a porch attached to the front that faces away from the houses. It is at the foot of a willow tree whose branches are all over here. That's where I got all those branches. And the willow tree sits in a seasonal stream. I have sat there again and again on late summer evenings as dusk turns into darkness, and the willow tree and the surrounding shrubbery suddenly becomes alive with fireflies. And the fireflies melt into the night, and they become almost indistinguishable from the stars. And everything starts blurring into everything else. Our reading this morning by David Abram recalls for us this kind of connection to other humans and the natural world that happens when our senses are allowed once again to reconnect with the world around us that we sometimes forget is there. He calls this perception as participation, that there is always an interplay between the body and what it is perceiving. We all participate in one another's existence, influencing each other and being influenced in return. And that each other he is talking about is both human and more than human. Plants, trees, animals, even inanimate beings like rocks. His book was written nearly 20 years ago and talks about events in his life that happened even earlier than that, in a time and place that was not so plugged in, that was not filled with so many handheld distractions. Since the writing of his book, the ubiquity of technological devices has skyrocketed. The possibility of being completely gadget-free, the possibility of all our devices being even temporarily disabled so that we could stop for a moment and pause to reconnect, I think for many would be a very scary thing. And these gadgets that do connect us in so many ways can also be used to disconnect us. We may be well versed in ecological awareness, know all the facts of a plethora of websites and other informational outlets. But many of us spend very little time interacting with the outdoor environment or even our neighbors right outside our doors. Where I live in upstate New York, there are places where the internet simply does not go. And so driving along the back roads, there are internet black holes. So there are places where you can go, where it's easy to disconnect. But from what I understand, there's some ridiculous amount of internet traffic that goes through here. So I'm not sure how you could be unplugged ever. I like to think that everyone can have experiences of feeling connected to worlds larger than themselves. Some of us meld into nature, and some of us might experience this sensation with other people when participating in large gatherings like protests. where the larger connection of people becomes greater than the individuals making it up. I have read that some languages don't have a pronoun for I. There is only we. It seems to me that they know intuitively that none of us is ever simply an I. We are always, at all times, interacting with other beings, both human and more than human, whose very presence allows us to perceive, feel, taste, touch, see, and smell the world beyond our individual selves. We are never not connected. If we go down to the atomic level, we are all part of a swirling mass, interacting and influencing everything around us in ways we may not even know or understand. When the world feels broken, it is because we forget this connectedness. That is why I sent around the Earth ball. It is a three-dimensional representation of this place of wholeness where we live, devoid of the political boundaries that fragment us from each other. I saw a picture recently of a neuron firing next to the picture of a solar system. The pictures were very similar, and the caption read something like, "What if the solar system is merely a neuron firing in a being much larger than we could ever imagine?" In the opening story this morning, I talked about vessels breaking open and spilling the light of God, these holy sparks all over the world. It is humanity's role to find the light and come together to repair the shattered vessels. This light is recovered when we connect with other beings, when we show kindness, when we participate viscerally in the life of those beyond us. Jim Antel, UCC minister and climate activist, writes, "The world, each fragment as well as the whole, is a window into the love of God. We are those fragments, and all the plants, animals, trees, soil, rocks, they are all the fragments too. And when we interact with them, and when we feel their connection to all these other pieces, when we feel ourselves melting into and experiencing the larger world as something not separate from ourselves, we reconnect the fragments into a whole. We repair the vessels. We repair the earth." In the afterword to the new edition of his book, The Spell of the Sensuous, written in 2017, David Abram talks about humanity's deep desire to connect, to feel the enchantment of communicating with, of perceiving and participating with all our senses in all that is around us. All our senses are meant to connect and share the experience of other beings in order to enter into and learn something from their existence. And we humans, we make the mistake of thinking that we can recreate that enchantment by creating talking refrigerators and talking cars, not realizing that with these devices, we are speaking simply to ourselves. So find those sacred spaces and places where you melt into the larger whole, where you suddenly become larger and deeper than your individual self, where your fragment, which is a window into the light and love of God or life or whatever you want to call it, becomes part of the larger constellation of love and light. Touch the earth. Feel its texture. Take in its smells. Taste its bounty. Listen to its sounds. See it in all its beauty. And when we participate in each other, when we participate in the earth deeply, we begin to feel the sparks, the light rejoining itself. I like to think as congregations, as these places, these sacred spaces where the fragments come together, where together we try and repair the world. So thank you for joining me. Amen, and blessed be.